Hello and welcome to another episode of Amon Sheeran's Pirate Radio Podcast. Today we are here with one of the creators and founders of LI Kick, Sal. I never learned your last name. What is your last name, Sal?
It's Ferrugia.
Ferrugia. So yeah, that was a tough one. I would have butchered it. But so a lot of stuff to talk about today. And I have to thank you for two quick things. And those things are getting me out of my podcast slump and getting me back in the game, because it's been a while. So thank you for that. And thank you for starting LI Kick, because it's a lot of fun. And tell us more about what LI Kick is and how it got started.
Yeah, to start, first off, thanks for being on with you. And LI Kick is Long Island's biggest provider of co-ed adult social sports. We run leagues in kickball, soccer, bowling, cornhole, volleyball, dodgeball, pickleball, and ultimate frisbee for about 6,000 adults, young adults and older adults on Long Island. It's been the joy of my life. It's been a lot of fun. I've met a lot of awesome people doing it, and I'm so thankful that I have it.
Yeah. So how did you get started? What made you want to start LI Kick?
So yeah, I went to college at SUNY Geneseo and I had a fantastic time there. All 4 years were awesome. And not just all 4 years were awesome, but like all 8 semesters, every month, every weekend was just like so much fun. And when I graduated college, I went from being like popular with friends everywhere, busy weekends, nightlife, romance, excitement, a team. And then I came back home and I was just like back at the bottom of the totem pole again. I had I was at an entry-level job. I was living in my parents' childhood bedroom at my parents' house. And I just didn't really have the same amount of friends that I did. And my high school friends had vanished. My college friends were across the state. And I didn't really have a lot going on for me for a little bit. So I just really missed all of that. And I was jealous of my friends that lived in Rochester at the time, who had that. They like had a college feel because they were renting houses for $500 a month, and they played in a kickball league. And I was so jealous of my friends that I wanted to join one on Long Island. There were none. So I started my own, and I really caught lightning in a bottle with it. I started a kickball league. I had some help from the parks director of Glen Cove, which is where I live now, Darcy Bellier. And we had 126 people to join the first season. We got really lucky, caught lightning in a bottle. And from there, it just grew and grew. We added more sports, more locations, more people. That was in 2013. And wow. I mean it when it's been like the joy of my life. I'm so thankful for it. And college is great, but not life now is pretty great too.
Yeah, there you go. So like you said, you caught lightning in the bottle. And I think a lot of people are glad you did. What do you think has been the biggest change from 2013 till now?
Yeah, so it's all encompassing now. In 2013, we were just one kickball league that played two nights a week, just in the spring, just in the fall. But now it's just taken over my life in a good way. We have about 18 leagues happening just this week alone. So that's multiple leagues during a night. I think tonight we have 4 or 5 different leagues in different sports happening just tonight alone. It takes over my weekends. All my friends are from LI Kick. Everything I do is revolving around it and the people I met through it. So it's really taken over my life in a good way.
In a good way. That's the key. What has been your biggest obstacle since founding it till now?
Yeah, it's tough to convey the legitimacy of it. When people hear kickball league, the most common thing I hear is people saying, oh, I haven't played kickball since third grade. And I get it. You probably haven't. And some people, they may not realize that it's fun and it's organized and it's a real thing. And it's actually changing people's lives too. They might just think it's a bunch of people playing in the backyard, but they don't realize how much really goes into it. And they don't realize that if they jump into it, all the benefits that they could have from it, that it's really more than just a kickball league. We do a bar crawl where I know you were at about a month ago. Mm-hmm. We do parties. We do booze cruises. We did the gala, which was a 160 person party with a dinner, DJ, dancing, open bar, photo booth.
That was a lot of fun, especially the photo booth. I think people had a good time.
Yeah, it's awesome. We do weekend tournaments, kickball tournaments. We have all this stuff going on around it. So I have to constantly try and tell people that it's not just a kickball league. It's so much more. And it's not a pickleball league or a soccer league or a dodgeball league. It's so much more than all those things as well.
Yeah, I think there really is something for everyone, not just in terms of sports, but also in terms of there's a sport for everyone, but there's also like a competitive level for everyone. There's different divisions, and I think everyone can find kind of their niche and find people that they'll have a great time with.
Right. So we constantly have like people that are advanced at stuff and people that are newbies. So we do try and sort out, keep the newbies together and the advanced players together so they could have the experience that they want. Because believe it or not, you can be like really, really good at kickball. Like people don't, when people join, they don't think that there's like different levels of kickball.
Yeah.
But there are some people that are really good at it because they've been playing for 8 years.
Yeah, I definitely want to stick with kickball. It's probably my favorite out of the sports that LA Kick offers. And because I absolutely loved it as a kid, and it never occurred to me that there's an adult league with kickball. But as soon as there was, I was all in and committed to it. So I'm glad. And it's a lot of fun. For sure. What has been the most rewarding part for you about running this league?
Yeah, the most rewarding part is just how my life feels so full now. I have a ton of friends. I have a ton of things going on in my life. My weekends are full. If I want to do something, I could just reach out to a whole bunch of people that play in the leagues. Before LA Kick, in between college and LA Kick, I didn't have too much going on. I call those my blue years when I didn't have like so many friends, or if I had something I wanted to do and my three friends were busy that weekend, I couldn't really do that thing because I didn't have the crew of people. But now I just have so much going on that it's been really, I've gained a lot personally from it. That's been really nice for me.
Yeah, I think you're the perfect person to run the league because you're the guy that talks to everyone, makes sure everyone's having a good time. And I think that's exactly what the league needs. So thank you for that.
Thanks.
All right. Have you always been naturally competitive? Because Sal and I are on the same draft league team and we both go at it pretty hard. Have you always been like me, like a really competitive guy?
So I used to be super competitive. During sports, I ran track in high school and college. I was very competitive. Now I'm competitive in a different sense where winning the LA Kick to me isn't like super important. I play with a lot of free agents. I play with a lot of new people and I routinely get my butt kicked because I want those people to have a positive experience. So I play with newer players and I do lose a lot, but I don't really let that get me down. I don't care so much about the trophies for the league because I'm competitive in the sense that I want like LA Kick to win. I want everybody in the league to have a great experience. I want LA Kick to be the most fun thing someone could do. I say I want LA Kick to change people's lives. I want people to say that joining the league is the best decision they've ever made. So, and I realize I'm competing against like, they could just watch Netflix. LA Kick is competing against them going out to dinner with friends. So I'm trying to be competitive to make LA Kick the best. So all year I routinely lose and I'm cool with that. But during the end of the year, like with our draft league, mm-hmm. Now I say this is my time to try and be competitive and win. So most of the time I want LA Kick to win, but for this league that we're in, I'm selling out and I want to win.
Okay. That's probably healthier than going, you know, balls to the wall all year than having something to save it for.
Yeah. You turn into a crazy person also. Right. If like you let your self-worth be determined by like winning a kickball trophy, like it's not worth it, the trophy. And it's more important to be like a sensible, rational, and good person instead of just like losing your mind and yelling at like someone who's not athletic, who's on your team, and making them feel like
innocent bystander.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like, you know, throwing a kickball at a lady and God forbid you injure anybody.
Yeah.
And you just feel like a jerk afterwards. So sometimes it's not worth it.
So we touched on it. We were in high school at the same time, but our schools are definitely, I consider, two of the best track programs on Long Island, and a solid rivalry between my side, Syosset, and your side, Chaminade. So you were a coach and an athlete. How'd you get into running back in the day?
Yeah, so when I was little, I think everyone has a story, right? I did all the sports, and I was okay in all of them, but the one skill set I had, whether I was playing lacrosse or soccer or flag football or basketball, is that I was just a tireless runner. That was like my skill set, is my speed and my endurance. So when I played basketball, I would run the full court press. Soccer, they would just kick the ball and let me sprint and go get it. Flag football, go deep every play. So when I got to high school, there was a track team, and that's where I found what I did. But I wasn't like the super, super, super fastest. So I ended up doing the hurdles, which is a good combination of being fast, but also having some like athleticism. So I wasn't, I wasn't fast enough. I wasn't fast enough to like be the top flat runner. But when you added in some hurdles and the technique in that, I moved up because I had that skill and I taught myself that timing and ability. So that's how I got into the Chaminade team. And it really kind of like set me on a path for high school through college and then post-college because I coached at Chaminade also.
Okay. So which hurdles did you run? Did you run the 400 or the 110?
I did the 400 in high school, and then in college I added on the 110.
Wow. That's a tough race because for those who don't know, the hurdles are what, like 4.5 feet high for the 110 or even like 5 feet high?
They're 39 inches in high school and 42 inches in college.
Okay. So do the math for me on that one. So that's over 3 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Not math was never my strong suit, but I did the 400 IH a little bit, but my senior year I did the steeple. So that was really just a warm up. The IH was to warm up for the steeple. So those are three very tough races. What are some of your highlights from your high school career?
And to talk about the toughness of it is like, that's kind of why I liked it, because when you lined up for the 100 meter dash, there is literally like 200 kids from that race. Even when you do the 400, there could still be like 80 kids lining up. So when you do the 400 hurdles, there's only like 20 athletes lining up. And so your odds are just so much higher of being in the first or second heat or having a comparably good performance. When you get to the steeple, it's even more because now you have to run
like 10 kids.
Yeah, because you have to run almost 2 miles and do the steeple. And not to say that like you're taking the easy way out by going against 10 other guys, but you like all the kids that aren't doing it, they would do it if they could, but they don't even bother showing up to the start line because they just can't do it. I always took pride that the hurdles like was a smaller field because a lot of people, they heard it and they're just like, oh man, that's just the hardest race ever. And you know, to me, an 800 is harder than the 400 hurdles, or even a mile is harder. 200 is harder than that because I just can never be fast enough to run that fast. But I, so about achievements, my high school PR in high school was 60.8 seconds. And I was happy with that. I could live with that. My best result was third in at like the conference meet.
Okay.
And my PR came at the conference meet also too, which, you know, that you take a point of pride of being your best
at the right time.
Yeah, being your best when it matters the most.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned you went to Geneseo. Did you always know you wanted to run in college, and what made you pick Geneseo?
Well, I didn't pick Geneseo. My mom basically just told me to go there, and my mom knows best. So that's where I went to college. I just kind of listened to her. And I was the athlete that had to recruit himself.
Same.
I wasn't really good enough where the coach actually wanted me. The coach would take me on the team if I showed up and worked hard, but the coaches do not need another guy who runs 61 seconds or 55 seconds in the 400. There's plenty of other guys that weren't faster than that they're taking. So I did trade off emails with the coach, but I didn't choose Geneseo, and I definitely didn't choose it because of the track program. I just got really lucky because my mom picked the right college, and I got lucky that the college had a killer cross country team and track team. And I got really lucky that I had awesome coaches that were accepting of me on the team as a freshman that was not overly talented. So I got lucky in all senses. And I'm so happy that fate played it that way.
Yeah, it sounded like everything worked out perfectly for you between LI Kick and going to the right school, and just besides those blue years that you mentioned where you weren't doing much after college, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone has that time in their lives, but you know, it all works out in the end. So thank you, Sal. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple more questions before I let you go. And thank you again for breaking the slump. What are your future goals for LI Kick? Where do you see it going?
So right now we have like 6,000 annual players. I'd like to get to 10,000 for the year. Just sounds like a nice number. A few years ago, that was a goal of mine, one day to 10,000 players. So I think I'll just keep with that as a goal. I'd like, and I want Ellicott to do everything. I want it to be the thing that people do when they graduate college. I want them to graduate and say, I have to start my life now. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? So I'll join LA Kick. I'll meet some people.
You're good. It's your recording on that one. So
yeah. I'll join LA Kick. I'll meet some people. And, you know, because I do think a lot of people when they graduate college, I know, especially for me, you go from being, not that I was a king of the campus, but you go from being popular in college and now it's back of the line again, and especially on Long Island, where there's no downtown areas. It's tough to meet new people as an adult. It's really high rent. So a lot of older people are still living at home. I want LA Kick to be the thing that people, and there's not a lot of things made for people too. There's not a lot of options for young adults out there. So I want LA Kick to be the thing that everybody does. I want to have a ton of players. I want it to be like high school again, but like all the good parts of high school.
Not the bad parts, yeah. I think you're definitely well on the way, and I think you've done, you know, a lot of that already. So great job. Two signature questions from the podcast. First one is, if you could have take a celebrity or athlete alive or dead out to dinner, who would it be and why?
If I could go to dinner with anyone dead or alive, I think I would choose the alive person because I'd have more to say.
Right. Good one.
I would choose Lance Armstrong.
Okay. He does a lot to say, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big cycling fan. After college, I ran a lot after college, and then it led me to triathlons, which led me to cycling. So I love to ride my bicycle. And I'm a big cycling fan also. So I watched the Tour de France. I've been to the Tour de France before.
Oh, nice.
So I'm really into that stuff. Yeah. So I would love to just, I mean, say what you want about Lance Armstrong, the good and the bad.
His competitors like Kobe, MJ, one of those ultimate competitors.
Yeah. One of his signature sayings is that he said, when I had cancer, I would do anything it took to survive. You know, I'd do anything I could to beat cancer. And I took that same, then he beat cancer, and he goes, and I took that same approach to cycling. Right. Exactly. And Kobe and MJ are the same exact way too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would choose Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And the last one, thank you again, Sal, is what would you like the outro song to be for this episode?
Katy Perry, Firework.
Firework, great way to end it. Thanks.